scripture today is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. And there it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Be an open house is the commandment that I want to share with you this morning. The second of the Ten Commandments for the home. The first, be a loving house. And the second one, very closely related. In fact, these two verses really form a unity in thought. Brotherly love, and then hospitality, or actually the word means foreigner love, or stranger love. Now, it doesn't mean strange love, which is another term. But love of stranger, love of foreigner, love of those that are outside, the brotherly or the family circle, let's say. Open house is a phrase that today is almost entirely reserved for the housing market, it seems to me like. I remember a time that when you had an open house, when somebody moved in to the community, they would have an open house, for example. We've had several of them over the years. As we've moved into a new community, we've had these kind of get-togethers where we invite people to come into our home. Now, I want to talk more about that. That's not really the sum of hospitality, but that's the term that we often hear, open house. People today, when they hear that term, may first think of houses that are for sale. But I remember a time that open house meant something different, don't you? When people opened their home hospitably to others. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, how to be an open house. At one time, that phrase was an invitation to hospitality in a home. Now, that's the word that we usually use. Hospitality means to have a house that is open to others. Hospitality was essential for the often persecuted minority of first century Christians. And in many parts of the world, it's still a part of their culture to have people in their home. I think maybe because we're so busy today, and maybe because, you know, we don't have the time that we would like to give to keeping things picked up around the house. We're not ready for company. I think we need to be ready for company. I think as a church, we need to be ready for company. We need to expect company. We need to practice hospitality. And I commend all of you for being a hospitable congregation. I believe we are. We can make improvements, and we certainly can make improvements, I believe, in our homes today. What can we learn from this first century church and from these words of God here, this command to practice hospitality? To make a house a home, it should be an open house. And I'd like for us to notice here, first of all, in this command found in the second verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, note its obligations, the obligation of that house. I suppose you could say, well, it doesn't say house. It doesn't say even that this applies to the family. No, these are general commands. I realize that. But how can you practice hospitality without practicing hospitality in a home? Now, you may not have a home in the traditional sense. You may rent, or you may have an apartment. You may even live in a tent. You can still practice hospitality where you are. I want us to think about the obligations for hospitality. First of all, a definition. That word that's translated there, hospitality, or in this version here, it says that we are to not forget to entertain strangers. Not forget to entertain strangers. Now, that may suggest to you that we're to do a tap dance. If you don't tap dance, that you put a movie in the VCR. Now, that's not what that word entertain means. Some of you that like to cook and prepare meals, you may think that's what that means. Well, all of that may, or that particularly may be included. But the word there just means a lover of strangers. A lover of those that are foreign to you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a foreigner as we would think of. Someone who speaks another language, for example. But someone who is outside of your family circle. We are to practice hospitality. And the reason for that is because some have entertained angels unawares. And we're going to speak more about that in just a moment. But I want us to think about that word. The literal translation of the verse there is love of strangers. Do not forget. Do not forget to love strangers. It's the same word that's translated hospitality elsewhere. In the Greek, it bears a close resemblance or correspondence with brotherly love in the first verse. In fact, I think these two verses are really a pair meant to complement one another. The first speaks of brotherly love, Philadelphia. This one speaks of love of stranger, philoxenia. You may have heard the term xenophobia. You probably haven't, but you may have. Xenophobia is a term that means fear of strangers. There are people who have xenophobia. Probably people that you know, maybe even people that sit where you sit. We don't like those that are different than us. Or no, I shouldn't say we don't like them. That sounds unchristian. But we don't tend to associate with those who are outside. That doesn't come natural to most. And that's why we need this command to love strangers. Again, it's the word translated hospitality elsewhere. But there's a decision that is involved in that obligation. It was said of the early Christians, behold how they love one another. They loved one another. And they showed that love by what they did. And not only did they love one another, but their numbers increased because they loved those that were outside of their sphere, their family sphere, and their church sphere. They made a decision that they were going to practice hospitality. Now again, in that culture, it was more natural, or it seemed to be more natural than maybe it is for us today. Maybe because we're under such time constraints. And we don't think we have the time to invite people into our home just to get to know them better and maybe to share a meal together or just to share Christian hospitality with them. The reason that that church in the first century grew like it did was because they practiced hospitality. Of course, they didn't have motels like we do. That was one reason why they had people that stopped through town, invited them into their homes. Now, I know you have to be careful, and you don't want to invite someone in that may want to take advantage of you, and we're concerned about the safety and the security issues, as we should be, I believe. But we need to make that decision that we are going to make our home a hospitality center. And there's a devotion to that obligation as well. We find it in the New Testament church, where they were commanded to be given to hospitality. Many Christians have used Sunday as a day of hospitality, inviting guests into their home. And as I was growing up, we did that. My parents did that many times, as we had maybe college students or others newly visiting in the church. But don't just wait for the preacher or someone else to invite them. You invite them. Be hospitable. This is not an option, but an obligation. But there's also objectives in that open house. What should be our objectives? Well, first of all, to show love. Jesus did not have a place to lay his head. But he was a hospitable host, as in the upper room when he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. We love by not just words, but by showing. And one of the ways we show that is by showing love in tangible ways. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we say we love God, we need to love one another. This is the great commandment, isn't it? So we need to show love. But also in that home, we need to shine light. And not just inside the home. Now, we need light in the home. But we need to let our light shine out. We need to let our light shine. Thomas Kincaid, famous painter, many of you probably know him or know of him. He's from California. And he paints these beautiful paintings that are nostalgic, mostly. They seem to go back to an earlier time. Maybe that's why we older people like him. But he paints these beautiful pictures, often of a home, with the lights in the windows shining out, and people coming into the home. Like this idea of the open home, the open house. We need to not just have that as a nostalgic ideal, but we need to practice that, to let our light shine. Jesus commanded that. To let our light shine for Jesus. And how we do that is by sharing the Lord. Many Christian families use their homes as an avenue to reach people for the Lord. And a Christian home ought to be inviting. Do our homes reflect the joy and light of Christ as people pass by? Or do they hear angry shouting? Or maybe they don't hear anything at all. Maybe all they see is the drapes drawn. It ought to be inviting, though. It should reflect the joy and the light of Christ. It should be indicting, too. It should convict the world of wickedness. There ought to be a purity about the Christian home. I spoke of that, shouting. Well, you may have kids, as we have. And I don't know that I don't know that I shouted, but I did a lot of exhorting, you know, preaching to my kids. And I'm kind of I really am ashamed of some of the times that I've raised my voice, and I know people must have been listening. We need to be careful, don't we? We need to be careful because people are watching us. The neighbors are watching us. They know you to be a church-going person. But do you live like that? Do you live with an open house that shines the light of Christ and that shares the Lord? And that home, and we don't have a perfect home by any means. When we lived in Ontario, California, we had many college students who would come. Not many, but seemed like every other weekend or so, we'd have Melina would come with some of her friends, and we were a little embarrassed because we're not super neat people. I mean, we're super neat in one sense of the term, but. We didn't. Our home wasn't a model homes that you go into, and we often didn't have some of the things that I'm sure others were accustomed to. But it was an opportunity that God gave us to show hospitality. And well, unfortunately, we don't have a college here. I don't think we have. A community college that meets here. But there are people all around who need hospitality, who need to see the love of Christ. And are we sharing the love of Christ with them? It ought to be inspiring. It ought to inspire that home, that open house, to the others, to the Lord. Many Christians have a scripture greeting on the door. Now, that shouldn't be the end of it. You know, we had a house with the plaque on it. It was already there. It must have been a Christian lived there before we did. But it said, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." And I thought, well, that's nice. I mean, I like that. But if we have that, we ought to live it. If you have a bumper sticker that says, "Honk if you love Jesus," but you're not driving like a Christian, those people may be honking not because they love Jesus. Because they don't love you, and they think you're a hypocrite. If the shoe fits, let's put it on. Obligations of that open house we've looked at. Objectives. Thirdly, I want us to see the opportunities of an open house. We can see them and seize them or make our homes a place of backsliding. You know, a place where we can privately backslide. You know, we think, well, you know, I love my privacy, so, you know, because nobody knows what I'm doing here. I think with the computers, it's such a, computers are such a wonderful thing. I love computers. I've always loved electronic things and gadgets, I guess. But I love the, how it makes work easier for me. There's so many good things on the internet. It's like a whole world that is opened. But you know as well as I do, not everything is good on there. We used to complain about the bad programming on TV. And I don't think it's gotten any better, if anything worse. But now we have these computers that bring pornography right into the home. You don't have to go to the corner drugstore and buy a magazine and a brown wrapper. I don't think they put them in brown wrappers, but they mail them in brown wrappers, I think. But you don't have to do that today. So there are people who think that a home is that kind of place where they can just live their private life. You know, they can be a Christian on the outside, but in the home, they can act like they want. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know that. There may be things in the home that we don't want others to see and know about, and maybe that's why we haven't opened our homes. But note that the home can be, first of all, a welcome center. And here in California, I think we have several. We had one in Ontario. Struck me as kind of odd when I found out about it. But then, you know, when I thought about it, the Ontario had the airport there. And it had the Ontario Mills Mall, which they claim is the number one tourist attraction in the state of California, even more popular than Disneyland. And so they had a welcome center there in the middle of the state. I think they have some others that are kind of stuck in the middle. Usually they're put right there on the border in most states. But they're places that where they welcome people and they tell them something about the state and some of the wonderful things that they can expect to see and do. Well, the home ought to be a welcome center. Do you remember the couple that we were told about in 2 Kings chapter 4 that made a little chamber for Elijah the prophet? And they made a little chamber and they put a bed there and a table and a stool and a candlestick so that when he came, he would turn in, have a place to stay. Not just Elijah, but any of the traveling prophets or I suppose anyone who needed a place. They made a welcome center. A home ought to be a welcome center where we welcome people into our family and into the family of God especially. And of course, all of these things that I say the home ought to be, the church ought to be, because the church is like a a home for the faith, for those who are of like faith. We are a family of faith. It ought to be a worship center, the home should be. The early Christians saw their homes as a ministry. In fact, most churches met in homes in the first century. They didn't have buildings like this. I'm sure they wished they did, but I don't know that they even wished they did. I think that they saw their homes as the place that it was natural to invite people in and to have a worship there in the home. Many times we're told about the church that is in someone's house. But the church ought to be also a witness center. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And I think that that could say in your homes. Now, I know it doesn't say that. But I think if we are sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, we ought to sanctify Him in our homes. You know, not necessarily put a cross on the wall, although you might want to do that. And not necessarily have religious pictures around, although there are some fine, inspiring works of Christian art. But that home, again, would be a place where when people come in, they would just know that there's something different about that place. When I was in seminary many years ago now, it's scary to think how many years ago that was, but back in the 70s in Louisville, Kentucky, I lived in a residence hall there, and I had a friend who lived down the hall. He said one time when he walked into my room, he said, "You know, there's something holy about this place." And I thought he must be pulling my leg, because I'd been in his room, and it was neat and tidy, and I mean, he felt called as I did. But I don't know. I suppose maybe that was a place that I prayed, that I read the Bible. I was very dedicated and to the Lord and His Word and prayer. And he just felt it as he walked into the room. I don't know whether you've had that experience of walking into a place and you just feel the Lord's presence. I've had a number of people say that to me about this place here where we worship, that when they just walked in the door, they felt the Lord's presence. And that's how a Christian home ought to be. The place where you live ought to be a place where everyone who comes in would just feel the presence of the Lord and would just be overcome with that sense of God's presence. Angels unawares may meet you if you will make your home an open house. As Abraham and Lot entertained angels unawares, so the stranger whom the Christian receives may turn out to be a messenger from God to his soul. One whose presence may fill his house with the atmosphere of heaven. Now that's the other side of this. Should the stranger be a man whose mind is stored with the treasures of spiritual truth and whose affections are devout and pure, his visit may prove a means of direct quickening to the religious life of the household. Samuel Rutherford experienced this privilege. I'm reading this from a commentary, pulpit commentary. Samuel Rutherford experienced this privilege when one Saturday evening he received a stranger into his pleasant manse at Answorth. For after being impressed at the family catechizing with this guest's answer that the number of commandments was 11, the new commandment being John 13:34, a new commandment Jesus said, "I give unto you that you love one another." Being cited as the proof of this 11th commandment, he discovered by and by that his visitor was Archbishop Usher, the learned and devout primate of the Church of Ireland. Well, that's just one example. But the Bible says, and we know that there were instances that those who practiced hospitality entertained angels unawares. And we don't know the blessing that will await us if we are obedient to this command to practice hospitality, to be an open house. May God help us to make our homes open houses.
Worthy. here, and this one.